Hey everyone, welcome to This Lesbianship is Intense. I'm Katie.
And I'm V.
And we are back again, and this time we're going to talk to you about Betty, the show on HBO. But first, how are you doing, V? How are you hanging in there?
I just have to, I was like, I just have to keep waking up. So that's where I'm at. No. No, I'm doing okay. Fortunately, I live in a state that's, I think, being pretty responsible around the coronavirus. So I'm continuing to work from home while I can be a little like cooped up and shit. At the end of the day, I'm grateful that I don't feel pressure to go back to the office. So I'm grateful, I guess, for what I have.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I have had a lot of personal ups and downs and bad things go on. But generally speaking, one thing I have really come to terms with is I have a great support system. Like, I have friends that we've been like FaceTiming a lot and Zooming a lot and like keeping each other's spirits up, because the social isolation thing is no joke. It's hard. And I live in a state that's not doing a very good job. And, you know, people are always talking shit about it, which I fully support. But I don't think, like, people understand what these environments are like. Like, a ton of people aren't following the rules. And, like, people are sheep. And they just, if they see other people not doing it, they don't want to do it. That's not me. I've got my masked knee all over my face from wearing my mask. But we've lived in a different world now. We're just trying to do our best. And you guys, if you're doing okay, or you're doing sad, or you're having a bad day, it's okay. This is the time we're in.
I was actually just thinking earlier today about how irritated I was that, like, I was, like, working out with some regularity for a while. And then, like, I think I just got comfortable with working from home and that stopped. And, like, I don't know, became obsessed with work, excessively so. And I'm trying to reestablish some boundaries. And then I was like, be kind to yourself. You're living through a pandemic. And I was like, no, fuck, you need to fucking work out too, though. So, like, I'm having a lot of conflicting feelings.
Me too. I have been, like, trying to pressure myself to work out. And then I'm like, I'm tired. Like, life is exhausting. But the one thing I've been making myself do is, like, I cook a really, like, elaborate full meal every night. Or, like, every other night. I, like, that hour of time of something to do is really healthy for my mental stability right now. And are you looking for someone that you can talk to or relate to about your struggles with creativity? I want you to check out Elle Penelope, who hosts the show My Imaginary Friends. This is a perfect podcast for you.
Hi, I'm Elle Penelope, and I'm an author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and also the host of My Imaginary Friends, which is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. On my show, you'll get a weekly look behind the scenes of an author navigating the publishing world, as well as thoughts and tips on creativity, inspiration, writing routines, and more. So if you're an established or an aspiring writer, or a reader who always wanted a peek into an author's life, you can find me at myimaginaryfriendsshow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
But yeah, I hope everybody's hanging in there. We want to start to try to get the podcast back up and going with some consistent stuff. I think we've kind of decided that we're just going to pick random things that at least one of us likes and the other person likes well enough. And talk about it on here. And one of our requirements is that it's always got to have an LGBTQ woman of color in the show for us to talk about it.
I think it's really funny, but I think it's great that you, like, stipulated, like, at least one of us loves and the other one, like, likes enough, because we are similar, but we're also very different. So finding something that we are both obsessed with, like, the show that shall not be named, was amazing. but it's a little bit of a struggle since then.
It's been a struggle to find something that we both want to watch. And the key is we have to both want to watch it at the same time, because there might be shows that like we both really are interested in, but only one of us is in the mood to watch. So we're playing this by ear, but you know, it's fun for us to do this. So we want to keep finding things we like. All right. So here we are. We're starting with Betty, episode one. It's called Key Party. And it was directed by Crystal Mossell, who has directed the whole series, and was written by Crystal and Leslie Arfin. And for those of you that don't know the background on Betty, it's based off of a movie that was called Skate Kitchen. It has all of these same characters, essentially, but the plot is slightly different in how it's executed. So the movie is much more about Camille and her forming like a sisterhood with the other girls, and like coming to terms with who she is as a person. It's still a really good movie. It's still like beautifully shot, like the show is, a good story, but you know, it's just less gay since it's about Camille and it's less about the other characters. So I prefer the show because I like seeing all of the characters. But essentially in the movie, the whole storyline of Camille this season is that movie. So you see more of the relationships in the movie than you might even see in the show. And also, Camille has a slightly different backstory, I believe, in the movie. So I'm assuming some of the characters' lives are slightly adjusted in the show than they were in the movie.
Okay.
And I guess the reason why I really love the show and why I will continue to rave about it is because I think subculture is a really fascinating genre to play into, because it's pretty fresh in terms of material. There's a lot of like dynamics and relationships that you might not see usually. And I really like this whole like a world that is created, but it's not like a science fiction world. It's a world here in our reality that people live in. And I think the show does a really good job at building that world. And I really love all of the characters and love all of the different group dynamics and different pairings that we see throughout the show.
Yeah, I actually really grew to love all of the characters.
And I will say this now, like if I had characters like Honey Bear and Kurt growing up, I would have felt a lot more at ease as a person. I just really enjoy how they talk about these two characters and how their different sexualities interact in their life. It's a really refreshing portrayal, in my opinion, to have like more than one main LGBT character who has different experiences and different personalities, and neither is good or bad. It's just who they are.
I did really enjoy that so many people were gay, or, well, I guess it was just Kurt and Honey Bear, but I don't know, I guess like nothing was like said explicitly, but I just felt like, I don't know, it just felt so natural, their friend group, and I just really appreciated that.
Yeah, it's interesting watching the show. It almost feels like you're watching like a biography, like a real life portrayal of people. Mm-hmm. But it is fiction. And that's a really interesting way to like play with a genre like this. And also, I wonder how much of the show has some like improv in it, because a lot of the scenes feel so natural. So I wonder if they have a script, but also have a lot of freedom with their improv.
I agree. I feel like a lot of their interactions felt very, very natural, where it felt like I was watching more of a documentary than I was watching a scripted show sometimes.
So we start in the show in the streets of New York. Kurt is like taking pictures of these really horrible bruises, and she's like skating through the street. She skates through a wedding party.
I mean, you have to say, Katie, they're bruises on her ass. Like, you got to be specific.
Bruises on the ass. Yes. Kurt's got just a really like tie-dye t-shirt and basketball shorts, like baseball cap look to her.
Please let me tell you how I described Kurt in my notes. white skater girl photographing her bruised ass, gay ass hat and a fanny pack.
That's it. That's who she is. That's the way to describe Kurt. And while she's skating, she FaceTimes Janae. And we kind of establish here that Kurt and Janae are the main, like, rooting of the girls of the show. They are, like, best friends. And they talk about an event they have planned. And while they're talking, Kurt gets, like, hit by a car or something to really set the scene of the dangers. And then we start with the really cool title cards on the show where Kurt is holding on the back of a truck and we see Betty graffitied across the back of a truck.
Yeah, that was it's pretty. I enjoy graffiti.
We have Janae and Kurt showing up at the park. It's filled with dudes. We find out that they were planning a girls' skate sesh. And they're wondering if anybody's going to show up because Kurt didn't do much advertising for the event.
No, she didn't. She's like, what is time? It's a construct. Word of mouth is the Instagram. She's just got like these like philosophical things that are inaccurate.
That aren't true and aren't helping anybody. And then she sees a girl across the park. So they come over and introduce us to Honey Bear, who is one of my favorite characters. Honey Bear has like kind of a sweet and gentle, shy demeanor, but she has a real edge to her based off of like her style and the clothes that she wears. And I really enjoy that dichotomy. Later in the show, she literally is just always like tits out, pasties across her nipples, like rocking it.
Yeah, I love her aesthetic, but I think that she would intimidate me a ton. She's too quiet. I would just be like, I don't know what you're thinking and feeling, and I can't. Like, she would just intimidate me way too much to interact with.
V's not into the mysterious type.
I'm into the mysterious type who give in to me really easily. So, like, if you hold that beyond my hello, like, I'm done.
I need to know what you're thinking and feeling at all times.
Yeah.
Honey Bear is established as the documentarian of the group. She has a camera on her. But I really like this line where Honey Bear introduces herself and Kurt goes, that name is sweet. And she's like, why? And Kurt's like, honey is sweet. So it's sweet. And I just really appreciated that level of humor and dialogue.
Yeah, Kurt makes me laugh a lot with her shit.
And then we are introduced to Camille, who is more of a character on the outside throughout the season, but she's the main character of the movie. So I just found that very interesting. And Camille, I think, is actually a really interesting character, even though she's really frustrating at times throughout the show. You know, she has this, like, Charlie Chapman-esque style and has a really interesting storyline, I think, because she has a lot of, like, anti-girl behavior. Like, she wants to hang in, like, fit in with the dudes, and it's, like, really trying to be under this guy's attention and everything. But what she's really looking for is companionship. And I think she finally figures out by the end of the show that you can get that companionship through friends. It's not all about, like, who you're dating or who you're into. And I think that's an interesting narrative arc. But she's really initially kind of frustrating.
Yeah, she irritated the shit out of me, especially when we get introduced to her. Kurt thinks that she must be, or Janae, I think, thinks that she must be here for the skate sesh. And the girl's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And the guys are like kind of teasing where they're like, yeah, Camille, why don't you skate with them?
Yeah.
And I fucking hated it. And I just, Camille aggravates me a lot.
What about, like, if they're truly your friends, you could ditch them to hang out with these other people and go back to your friends. Like, that's not weird. But she's, like, so influenced by what these guys think of her. But the sad thing about it is they don't really think of her. Like, they don't care about her that much. So why are you wasting so much of your energy on them?
Yeah, very true. I think that we see throughout the show that, I don't know, I just feel like she, like, seeks validation in males, and it's very aggravating. because they don't have that consideration for her.
Wonder what her backstory really is going to be in this show. In the movie, her parents were divorced and she was raised by her father growing up and then went to go live with her mother when she was older, and her dad really resented her for that. So I wonder if she has a complicated relationship with her parents in this show too. But she mentions that she lives with her dad in this show. So I don't know what is going on with her background here. There's a lot of cool, like, skate montages in this show, which is really meant to build a sense of community and be the world building of the show. The different montages, it, like, shows in-depth look at the characters' personalities. We see, like, bonds form, and we see just, like, other human interaction with people. And sometimes they tell, like, kind of running narratives of, like, the random people they show in the streets of New York, if you really pay attention to it. The really base setting of the show is this showcasing New York through, like, these skaters' perspectives, but we also see, like, glimpses into other people's lives. But I like the nice clip here of girls sharing a drink with the girl that's on the corner of the skate park. You know, it's like showing how this is part of a community. It's not just these, like, outsiders that were planted here.
I think it's lovely that you have such an insightful thing. While my note is, how do you even skate with so many people around? Jesus. That's my note.
And then so they're all skating through the park and having a good time. And then it starts raining and all the skaters run into this shop. And it's just this moment of this, like, cashier lady who you think, like, actually hates them, but she doesn't. She's just having, like, a free-for-all where she's like, give me $1,000, $1,000. But it's kind of smiling and winking at them as they just give her some money and take their treats. But then when she's, like, done, she's done, and they have to get out of her store.
I wasn't sure what, like, prompted her to kick them all out. I wasn't sure if she was just, like, over it or if it was because Philip, like, yelled about. I don't know what the fuck he yelled about.
And we find out that Philip, who was a guy that was hanging out with Camille, had his shit in her backpack, which Camille forgot at the park. And Philip freaks out on her because his winter ball key was there. But Kurt calls his ass out, and she's like, hey, don't talk to her like that. Like, don't be a dick. Kind of the main crew, Janae, Kurt, and Honey Bear, kind of jump in and help out. And I really liked what Kurt was like, why did he steal a backpack? You might as well steal a briefcase if you're gonna steal something.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Like, there's nothing in it.
I appreciated where, so when Kurt was calling Philip out about him being all pissed about his shit being lost, she was like, basically like, can you fucking be grateful that you even have a Winter Bowl key? Because, like, how many girls do you know who have a key? That's right, none. And I had to look up what the fuck Winter Bowl was. Because, like, what are they talking about? Which I guess is, like, a indoor private skate park area.
It seems to be, like, an elite thing that you have to earn a key to or something.
And, of course, no ladies have earned it.
Yeah, no ladies earn that high achievement. And I just kind of really enjoy that throughout the rest of the show, to, like, have these dynamic conversations about, like, how things are different for different people, and to continually challenge that and have, you know, some of the characters really work through their different privileges. And also, it's refreshing to see people call each other's friends out and hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. And not in a way that's like, you hate them, but just say, no, you're a person I care about. I want you to be a better person type of way. So it was really refreshing to me for, like, Kurt to not know this guy, but to call him out on his shit.
Yeah. And then they break that deal with, I think, Camille, where they're like, all right, we'll help you find it and you'll let us in. Or wait, I guess they must do it with Philip because it's his key. And so that's the deal.
And so then they use Find My iPhone to trace Camille's backpack. And while they're running after the guy, they run into Farouk, who is their drug dealer, at his van. And there's a really interesting scene where we meet Indigo, who's one of our other main characters. And it kind of seems like Kurt's into Indigo and is, like, flirting with her and, like, asks for a smoke. And so then Kurt and Philip and Honey Bear hang out, and Janae and Camille actually go look for the backpack. But I like when Camille tries to get Philip. She's like, Philip, are you serious? Like, come on, man. And he goes, Camille, my socks are wet. I didn't get my sandwich. I need to regroup. And I was like, that is the quarantine mood right now.
It's humorous, but I think I was annoyed with him because I was just like, oh, your life is so hard. You got to go smoke some weed. Like, I was just annoyed with him.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, completely unappreciative of the girls trying to help you find your shit that they can't even get into.
I did really think it's hilarious when Janae and Camille were leaving. I think Janae was like, Honey Bear, like, I'm going to leave my shit with you here. Just stay with them. Watch the shit. Da 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 da. And I'm like, Honey Bear just met these people. And now she's like stuck in a van watching other people get high, like watching property. Like,
it's just. See, it's easy to make friends. This is how you form a clique right here. Watch people's shit when they've been lost and they're getting high. That's it. So here we kind of see like Philip complaining about how hard his life is, and Kurt's like, dude, you're getting high in the van. Like, what the fuck? Your life is not hard.
Yeah, with free weed.
We established like Farouk is kind of a shady character, although maybe well intentioned, but he's like selling illegal shit out of his van, essentially. And then Janae and Camille run after a guy that they think has the yellow backpack, but it turns out, no, it's just another random kid with a backpack, and he tells them to fuck off.
I can totally see a New York kid saying that, if not worse.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then we also find out that India works for Farouk and sells drugs for him.
Indigo.
Oh, it is Indigo. You know why I said India? Because I've been watching Drag Race and one of the drag queens' names is India. And then while they're hanging out, Kurt asks Indigo if she's ever skated before. And Kurt says that I could teach you. And then people are laughing at her for it. And she calls them out and she's like, why are you laughing at me? And they say, well, everyone thinks it seems like you want to get with Indigo. And she's like, no, what I do is I teach girls how to skate. It's not her fault if her let's skate and let's smash moves are the same.
I was dying of laughter because I definitely thought that Kurt was trying to get with Indigo. And then when she asked her about skating, I was like, oh, there she goes. And when she said like, nah, there's just some overlap between my vibes, I was like, sure, Kurt. But then as I got to know Kurt, I was like, yeah, no, that's just the way she talks.
Yeah, it's also, I also think it's an interesting way. Like, you can interpret it that it's kind of the same, but it's not in a bad way. Like, yeah, Kurt, I think, would be into Indigo if Indigo did read it as her flirting. She would have, like, pursued that. But when she got the signal, she was like, all right, let's be friends and skate. Like, and I just love, like, that kind of, like, positive, like, fluid expression of sexuality, you know? Like, you don't have to live in this, like, rigid box where you're afraid all the time. Where you can just, like, be who you are around people and not be scared of, like, how people are going to react and stuff. And I think that's a really positive way to show people interacting. And then Indigo is not sure that she's into it. She just likes to chill and she's scared about falling in front of dudes. And Kurt goes on, like, a rant about how, like, skating isn't about tricks. It's about having fun and chilling with people.
How relatable for Indigo to be like, I just want to do chill shit. I don't want to go and fall on my ass in front of a bunch of guys. And I was just thinking about how many things do women like give up or don't want to pursue because of the concern around men's reaction.
Like, and that feeling of being embarrassed is like so relatable to people in many forms. You know what I mean? We should be really building communities where we support each other and do things that we want to do that make us happy. And that's why I really enjoy the vibe of this show. And then we have the montage where we have the crew that's smoking and dancing back in the van, and then Janae and Camille seriously looking for the backpack that's gone missing. I liked kind of just how you could see Honey Bear and Indigo bonding in the van, and you have this moment of like Philip crying about his heart being broken by a girl before. And so you're also getting to like explore Brooklyn through their chase all over the city, and we see them run through a mall, and you feel like their stress of trying to look for the backpack, but also like you see them having fun and goofing around with each other. And also, I think this is really charming way to kind of portray Janae and Camille's relationship, because Janae and Camille really form a close relationship in the movie to each other, but you don't really get to see it as much in the show because we're kind of building, introducing Camille into the group. And so I felt like this was a nice little homage to the movie.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was super cute. I really enjoyed their interactions. Of course, because I'm me, I was like, are they gay too?
I would not complain, especially Janae, if she was into girls, I would not complain at all.
Yeah, nope, let them all.
Camille too. My sister's style icon is Camille. Like, she's
Oh,
obsessed with Camille's style.
I love Camille's style too. I thought it was so cute.
And then Camille and Janae run into an old man who needs help with a key. And Janae decides to help, even though Camille's not sure about it. And like the key doesn't seem to work. And he's being really creepy towards them. And they keep helping him, even though you can see them start to get creeped out because he's a pathetic, essentially. And they feel bad.
Let's be real. Janae feels bad. Camille wants to leave.
Camille is over it, but Janae still feels a little bad for him. And they eventually do find his house and help him with like the key to get in. And then he offers them a butterscotch and calls them pretty ladies. And Janae is just trying to appease this old man because he seems harmless, and tries to be nice and take the candy. But then he like weirdly fucking grabs her arm.
First, he raises it teasingly, which really irritates me. And then when she finally does grab it, he holds onto her arm. And I fucking hate it because men are like this. Like, I have witnessed this shit. They're creepy as fuck. I hate it. Older men.
Yes, like I've used to do a lot of work in like nursing homes and shit. And like people were like this to young girls. It's really fucking weird and creepy, but no one says anything because they're old men and this behavior has been excused for so long. And I thought it was really interesting to kind of show like really the different things that happen in women's lives, that the world that they interact in. And you get to see Janae and Camille kind of talk about that. Like, they weirdly kind of try to laugh it off. But then Janae talks about an experience as a kid where she got like harassed by the bus driver, but she never reported it because she didn't want to get him in trouble. This is such a real dynamic that people go through. And I think it really kind of is starting to set the scene for Janae and how she is really uncomfortable with confrontation. And so she really struggles to find her voice throughout the show. And this is kind of starting that for her.
Yeah, and I think that it also illustrates how people can say or do things that make you feel uncomfortable, but they're also not so blatantly, obviously awful things that you question whether it's something that should be brought up with this bus driver thing.
This show, I think, explores what a lot of shows wishes they could do. It explores the gray areas of life really well. It really gives a kind of a complex look at a situation without making a judgment call. But sometimes when a judgment call is needed, they do make that judgment call and make a statement with what they're trying to say. So, I just really appreciate the fact that they take time to tell a nuanced story, which is really impressive considering they only had six 30-minute episodes, but they picked the things they wanted to tell and told those things really well. They didn't try to cram everything in. With how they started one of the storylines of this show, I thought I was gonna hate it. Like, I was really mad about it at first. But then, as they continued to explore it, I really ended up enjoying the story they told. So, I really like how they approach storytelling in this show.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that in watching this show, while I found it entertaining, I was just kind of like, what's the point of this? Like, I don't get it. And then as I continued to watch it and saw how it all kind of was culminating to this thing, and I haven't watched the last episode yet, but I imagine that it'll all, come to a certain point. I was like, oh, they've done this well, and they've done it in a way that, again, feels so natural that it just feels like I'm watching the progression of someone's like life, and not that it was like, we want to hit on this storyline and this is the stories that we're telling. It has a very natural feel to it. And I think that's why I feel so weird about the show, is because I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? It's entertaining, but I'm confused.
Yeah, I think it's really different than what's usually out there. And I also like that it gives you an opportunity to number one, feel empowered. Like I watch the show and I leave it feeling like I'm a really cool person just as I am, and that's the way I should live my life. And the next day I'm like, okay, you still have some work to do. But I really like that it has this empowered message behind it, but it also does have a specific point of view and wants to talk about the issues that different women face. And it wants to do it in a way that you could maybe apply it in your own life to either feel empowered or challenge someone you didn't feel comfortable challenging. And I think it gets that message across really well because like these characters are still like very unique characters that are interesting on television, but they also feel really relatable because it just feels like you're watching someone's life. So then I think it kind of makes you feel a part of that, which is just, I think, good storytelling. But then back at the van, we have Kurt teaching Indigo how to skate, and you see like Kurt and Indigo bond a little bit, and like they were kind of teasing each other back and forth. But then Philip runs off because he thinks he saw his uncle or something from the van, and Honey Bear is rewatching the film she took from earlier and sees who took the backpack. So she shows Kurt, they call Janae, and so then Kurt, Farouk, Honey Bear, and Indigo run up and meet with Camille and Janae, and they take off trying to get this backpack at the big climatic moment of the episode. And Kurt chases after the guy and he tries to get away from them, but it turns out Camille knows Spanish, so he can't hide, and she gets her backpack back. And Kurt yells at the guy, "Fuck you, bitch, we speak Espanol too."
Yes, it was a really funny moment. This is backtracking a little bit, but with the Farouk, they were talking at one point about water, and Farouk was like, "Oh, I hate water. You don't need water. You just like eat fruit." And Indigo's like, "How are you alive?" And I'm sorry, like that just really, really like water is my go-to beverage. People who do not drink water, I do not understand.
I agree. But like that was, listen, I'm being real. That was my life growing up. My parents never drank water. They drank sweet tea or Pepsi. That's it. And like I drank juice.
Yeah, I feel like it's for a lot of people.
And then when I got older, I couldn't live if I didn't drink water. Like sometimes I'll be like, I don't feel good. I think I need to drink some water.
Yeah, that's usually why I'm not feeling well, because I'm dehydrated.
And then they celebrate. And I think this is an interesting thing that also kind of sets a scene for Kurt as a character in her storyline. Because you see here, she has a really bad temper and flares up really easily. And she is super like, let's go for my friends. Like, I'll do anything for my friends. I'm down to fight. I'm down to do anything. But I think sometimes she fails to see what people actually want her to do when she's there in difficult situations.
Yep, she's a loyal ass friend in that she will protect you, but she doesn't always think about shit.
And then they skate up to the Winter Ball because Camille has the key, and they don't want to let them in because it wasn't their key, but Bambi shows up.
I mean, this is bullshit because they have a key, and then he says to her, "Is that your key?" Assuming that it's not her key, because I guess apparently girls don't have keys. But like, this is fucking annoying to assume that it's not her key, and then she admits that it's not, and fucking gatekeeping. She's not allowed in until fucking Bambi is the one who's like, she's good. And suddenly she's allowed in.
It's not even just a superficial thing, like, oh, you're a girl, you couldn't possibly have a key. No, it's like a systemic thing. Like, girls don't have keys. Mm-hmm. So he knows that it's not hers. Like, this is a bigger problem. And I think that's kind of a really good way to illustrate that.
And it's really irritating to me that Bambi gives her that, like, nod and she's allowed in, because I feel like so often women are only considered valid when a man deems her to be. And it just, like, reminded me of, like, all those times where my friends and I would be out and, like, men were interested in them and be like, oh, no, I'm not interested. And they wouldn't listen until, like, the reason would be, like, I have a boyfriend. So it's, like, the fact that I'm uninterested means nothing. But if there's a man who he would be disrespecting by going, like, that's when there's respect. So just, like, really irritated me that, like, it doesn't matter that she has a key, that it's a friend's key. Like, Camille doesn't matter until Bambi says she does.
Right. And it's super fucked that it kind of explains, like, a lot of girls, like, are conditioned to believe that their opinions do matter. Like, they do need to seek that approval. And it starts from a young age. It doesn't matter if you're into fucking tap dancing or soccer or skateboarding. Like, this shit happens in whatever you're interested in. But Bambi lets Camille in, and because Camille has this, like, thing with needing this male approval, she takes the invite and leaves Kurt, Honey Bear, and Janae outside. And they're pissed for Camille leaving them hanging after they spent the whole day getting the backpack. And then, to top it all off, while they're stuck outside, it starts raining. I really like the closing songs of the show. I think it really gives a good, like, ending message about either the girls or the storyline. And it's She Brings the Rain by Can that plays at the closing of the episode.
Okay.
That was our first episode of Betty. You can find it on HBO. And thank you all for listening to us. We really appreciate it. If you could please follow us on Twitter at This Lesbian Shit, follow us on Instagram at This Lesbian Ship, and download this episode and rate and review us on iTunes. We would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.
This Lesbian Ship is Intense is a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.